You are now listening to the Project Kuwait.
To the Project Kuwait.
To the Project Kuwait.
Where we stop at nothing to bring you the right facts on health, fitness, and psychology. Featuring some of the world's most experienced professionals. So you can learn, live, and live. With your hosts, Meg, Dr. D, and Mehdi.
Learning how to communicate when you can't speak the same language, how to still get your point across, is so helpful. When I came back to the States and started coaching again, just that level of confidence of like, hey, if I can coach someone that doesn't speak my language, how to move better, how to have a right attitude in a workout, how to live a healthy lifestyle, it brought a huge amount of confidence back over. And I feel like I've grown, 10x times. Making communication harder almost made communicating easier.
They are very communal. They live so closely with one another of like what they provide, like the trading and the skills and how they can help each other out. It's just so well connected. That was like an enlightening experience of Sri Lanka. It was also that ability to connect with other people is always like such a great measure of health. And I think that community aspect is so important of like looking at how happy they were having like so little.
All this and more in today's episode.
Welcome back to the Expat series. I'm joined today by Brad Clark. And before I get into like who you are and why I brought you here, I want you to fill in the blank with this question. Strangers would describe me as blank, but only I know that I am blank. What's your answer?
Strangers would describe me as mysterious. Although I know,
only I know that I am.
Only I know that I have a plan and I know exactly what I want. However, it does not seem like it, but I am on a path and I know exactly where I'm going. But I only let a few people like into that part of me, you know?
That's awesome.
Try to keep it a little mysterious for sure. A little unknown.
The name that this app that we're recording on gave him the name of Inventive Moonwalker. We should change it to Elusive Moonwalker, maybe.
I'll take that. But I do like the Invented Moonwalker. That might be that could be a new handle somewhere.
Love it. So for those that don't know, Brad and I grew up in our fitness journey at CrossFit Omaha. We went through the level one cert together, did our internship right around the same time, learning from some of the best fitness coaches in the CrossFit industry at that time. I didn't jump into coaching classes as quickly as Brad did. I worked more on the operations side of the gym, social media, retail, which is where I got the connections to come to Kuwait working for Circuit Plus. And recruiting for Kuwait isn't easy. A lot of people know this, but I tapped into my network. And Brad, do you remember the timeline of you coming out? Because I just remember being like, yeah, you should come travel the world. Yalla. And then you were there.
I was like, walla, let's go. Yeah. So I was actually just talking to my girlfriend about this, but I think it was 2015. Cause I think I ended up being there in 2016, or it might've been 16 to 17, one of those two timeframes, but it was actually after Murph, and you were just, you posted that you were going to go on a recruiting trip throughout, Europe. And you posted a bunch of different places you're going to. And we were actually doing our Memorial Day Murph at CFO that day. And we were all just hanging out. And yeah, you posted that you were looking for coaches. And we were all just joking around. I was like, yeah, I would totally do that, you know, and just joking, having a few beers. And, you know, a couple months later, I found myself on a plane to Kuwait.
It happens fast.
It does. Yeah, it was definitely just by happenstance, you know, just joking around a little bit at first. And then, yeah, it just kind of happened that the stars aligned and it all worked out.
Yeah. What made moving to Kuwait like the right time or choice for you? Or what was going on that time that made it like an easier, was it a difficult decision?
Wasn't that difficult. It was fairly easy. I was just looking for something a little bit more permanent. You know, at the time, it was a little bit of uncertainty at the gym of like, could I do this full time? Could I not do this full time? And I feel like moving away and like making it my actual career, because I was always like part-time job this, part-time job this, part-time job this. So like, I just wanted to make sure that it was something I was super serious about. So I figured moving across the world and you know, finding a spot where I was, you know, strictly just coaching and just seeing if it was actually something I was passionate about. And, you know, it really was, I think, just at that point in my life, mid-20s, and I felt like nothing was really happening in my life. So I wanted to basically take any opportunity I could to make it a career.
Yeah. I find that as like a common theme with all of us that were here, is like either doing things on the side that we wanted to try out in the full-time scope, which was fitness. And that's not, wasn't something really offered a whole lot in the States of like a secure full-time job of coaching.
Back then it was not. Yeah. No, yeah. For sure.
Yeah. So it's always kind of a common theme of like, oh, it's things on the side I'd like to try, but this offers me security. Was like the, had you done a lot of world travel before you got to Kuwait?
Like zero.
Zero.
None. And the funny thing was when I finally broke down and told my parents that like, I already made my decision. Like I already told you guys I accepted the position and everything. And then I like invited my parents to lunch and they're like, well, this is weird because you never invite both of us to lunch. And
what's going on?
Exactly. And I was like, hey, in 2 weeks, I'm going to Kuwait to go coach. And at that time, I never actually looked at Kuwait where it was on the map. I just followed you through your journey and you were like, you loved it. So I was like, fuck it, let's go. You know, I live by the ready, fire, aim mentality. You know, just if you think it's something that could work for you, just go and try. Like, what's the alternative is just wondering if it would ever work. So, yeah, I had no idea where Kuwait was. I just know that you liked it. It was somewhere overseas. And yeah, it was just, I felt like it was the right time to try something new, but no world travel.
Yeah.
And then I slowly learned everyone that was over there loved to travel. And I caught the travel bug after that.
What was your parents' reaction though, when you told them?
They were very supportive right from the get, which was like calming and reassuring, but just like parents would, you know, just hey, like just very concerned, you know, with hey, like, you know, it's close to Afghanistan and the war was going on over there, and you know, the uncertainty of just in the Middle East, which the media portrays it being one thing when you're over there. I felt totally fine and safe when I was over there the entire time. And yeah, so I think very reassuring, but very motherly-like of just asking all those questions of like, where are you going to stay? How are you going to get around? Like, you know, just all those motherly things, just making sure I was going to be safe.
Yeah, taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you only gave them 2 weeks' notice. I probably held on to the information for about like 6 months in the entire like interview process and everything, and then I think it was a month before I went, I finally told my parents, and I had two very different reactions from mother and father. Father was very terrified, but yeah, it all worked out. And I think I sold everybody back home on the Middle East, obviously.
You did. Honestly, that was the main reason. Like once I saw that you were safe and you were having fun, I was like, all right, it's good. Yeah. It's worth a try for sure.
That's awesome.
And I don't know if you remember or not, but we had the interview, me and Steph, and you, and we were just talking about it, but then you didn't need a male position right away, but then something happened, some emergency or something where, I don't know if they just, whatever the coach was, but might've left in the middle of the night or just left.
A midnight rider. That might've been our first midnight rider.
The first, it's like, I'm just going to go on a quick vacation and then never comes back. But I remember you guys saying, well, like, we would love to have you, but we don't have a position right now for us. And then you called me 2 weeks later and was like, hey, can you come like out next week? And I was like, well, give me a little.
I actually remember that. I think it was, we were at a 4th of July picnic when we found that out. And then I think I remember I got on the phone with you at that picnic and was like, hey, how soon are you ready to fly?
Yep. And I was like, just let me shirp a few things back home and then let's roll, you know?
That's awesome. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I wanted to bring you on the show because I think you took a big risk coming out to Kuwait. I think we all, you know, did. But you got in a little world travel experience that you'd never had before. You had a very unique situation in Kuwait that also led you back home to the States. And now you're in a whole new business world that I never expected to see you in. So
likewise.
Yeah, right? So what are some of the like biggest things that, or proudest achievements maybe, either in your professional life or since Kuwait, or that Kuwait taught you?
I think the biggest thing is just like opening my mind up with a new perspective. And again, most people don't ever take a chance or don't take a risk, and they just see the world through the media and they don't actually experience it themselves. And it's, I think, really reassuring that no matter where you go, people are people and they're human beings, and they share the same feelings and the same insecurities and the same, you know, fitness, I feel like, as a language in itself. And, you know, people feel no matter where you're at in the world, like, people want growth. People want to learn new things. People want to challenge themselves. And I feel like fitness was a great vehicle for that, you know, at that time in my life. And I still think it is, you know, because, you know, you see someone else doing it and you're like, I want to do that. Or, you know, you're challenged personally in the middle of a workout or just with a certain exercise that, or a movement that you see other people doing it and you're like, I know I can do it, but, you know, how do I do it? So I think just growing in general, and the fact that, like, people had a bad rap of the Middle East from the media here in Middle America, Omaha, Nebraska, that, yeah, you know, the media portrays one thing, but when you go over there, it's like, it's nothing like that. It's like, yeah, they had Raising Cane's. That's a weird analogy, you know, a weird example of it, but like, it's totally normal. And, you know, people are very similar across cultures. And I feel like media almost creates a divide between cultures and ethnic backgrounds and all that kind of stuff. But when you go put yourself in there and make yourself a little vulnerable and willing to learn, that, you know, you grow from there and you just have a new perspective on life. And I feel like that's like one of my biggest or proudest achievements is being able to say that I did go experience that, instead of just through the media or just saying that, you know, I love all people. But like, when you go put yourself in that situation, like, and really live it, I feel like, so I think that's like a big achievement, and being willing to take the risk of the uncertainty. And I think moving forward in my life, you know, willing to take on that challenge of really not knowing what I was in store for at all, besides the fact that you're going to go coach and, you know, just kind of learn along the way, you know? So I think, yeah, that in any sense, and that's where I always go back to, like, the ready, fire, aim, you know, so many people, yeah, in the world, ready, aim, 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 and they never fire. They never go after what they want, or they never try it. And, you know, depending on how you look at it, you know, there's smarter ways to go about things, I'm sure, and maybe calculate a little better. But I'm a big believer in just going through the process, learn, adapt. Oh, I messed up here. Quick adjust. Okay, do better next time. I'm not going to do that again. Do better, you know, adjust, do better. And I feel like really just the, even it was only 1 year, but I feel like I learned a lot. And I think that's what I'm like most proud of, and what I'm also most excited about moving forward in the future, just because I already went through that. And I like totally took on that mentality of, you know, it's uncertainty, but trust in myself and others and being able to overcome. I feel like, yeah, I think my proudest achievement, yeah, from going over there. And there's a lot of stories we can get into if you want to or whatever, but I think on a macro level, I feel like that's probably the biggest takeaway from my whole experience is just, yeah, just if you feel something in your body, like, just go for it and figure it out. And it's 1 year, it's 6 months, yeah, it's, you know, it's not that much time that you can just move on if it didn't work out for you.
Right. I remember you saying that 1 year of experience out there. I know, and like, I think you were talking specifically to coaching, but it, maybe you found that it expands a little bit more than that. But like, 1 year of experience out there is like 5 years of experience back home. Yeah. Can you expand on that a little bit, of like what made that so impactful, or like what are some of the things that contributed to having to like cram maybe that much life experience into a year?
Yeah. on the coaching side of things, you know, it's like new language. Fitness was new in the Kuwait region, I feel like, or at least CrossFit which yeah. is what we brought into it. I'm sure I know they were infamous for their bodybuilding and physique training, but you know, that doesn't really teach, in my opinion, like a full wholesome lifestyle of wellness and fitness. And where CrossFit brought in was like healthy eating and mm-hmm. good lifestyle choices and
community
exactly. And like, yeah. What was it called? The Battle of the East.
Yeah.
Like just to see the progression of that, like the first one, everyone was like, what is this thing? And then over the years, just following along, it's like, it's a full blown festival over there. And like people have really got onto it. And I think one of the coolest things is to be the foundation.
Yeah.
Even though I kind of came in the middle of it, but to see the foundation really set in stone of Circuit Plus. And now I heard they have a lot of like local coaches who like we coached
yep.
are now the coaches. And that's just so cool to see the growth of it all. And just to see the whole, you know, city and country like get behind a healthy lifestyle, because before they didn't know any better, you know? And like that's super cool to see. And when you're thrown into a situation where you're you're running the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, there was a handful of us coaches that were collectively doing it. So it wasn't just solely on your own back, but you know, there's a handful of coaches and you had some support, you know, from the owners and letting you do what you do best. And that's why they brought you over. But to set the foundation and being able to get things in place, like some systems in place to make sure the quality of the classes are always there. You're attentive, you know, you're not just goofing off during your, you know, like if you're there to coach, like you're there to coach and you're trying to make these people better and learning a new language and how to communicate with that. Like when it comes to experience, and a lot of people respond differently to different cues or different things. We're going back to kind of your original question of like how the experience over there in only 1 year, how it
magnified it. Yeah.
You know, jump started, or I guess how it 5 years here, 1 year there, however you want to kind of say it. I mean, it's all arbitrary a little bit, but like, you know, learning how to communicate when you can't speak the same language, how to still get your point across is so helpful. When I came back to the States and started coaching again, just that level of confidence of like, hey, if I can coach someone that doesn't speak my language, how to move better, how to have a right attitude in a workout, how to live a healthy lifestyle, like it brought a huge amount of confidence back over. And I feel like I've grown tenfold, you know, 10x times where if I was just coaching people who spoke, you know, just communicated easier, like it just making communication harder almost made communicating easier.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense, you know, cause you have to find other ways. And I mean, that was huge. You know, if it's finding the right words or minimal words, cause if you spoke too much, it, you know, mixed it up a little bit.
Lost in translation.
But if you find the right few words that will make them tick or make them understand, you know, I think that was probably the biggest thing was it's not just the spoken word, like how you say it, inflection in your voice, choosing the right words, your body language, or just getting in there and like, you know, I was always scared to like touch people, but like, hey, here's where you need to be kind of thing. Yeah. So there's a lot of different things but I think that was huge.
Yeah. Packing in that experience.
Mm-hmm.
How about the travel aspect? You said you caught the travel bug. Where did you venture off to, and what were like some of the biggest lessons and some of the places that you visited?
So first off, like everyone that went over there, it was just, that was the conversations. Like, where have you traveled to? Like, where do you want to go? Oh, I went here and here's my experiences. Where from back home, people might go to Colorado or Disney, you know, like very common destinations, but it was never like world traveling or, you know, living that way.
Well, that's just what's interesting is like the states are massive. So us going from like state to state is like country to country over there, but the culture doesn't shift as hard.
True. As, exactly. Yeah,
in the rest of the world.
So I feel like a little bit of FOMO of having conversations and I didn't have anything to talk about, but then just hearing their experiences in different countries and different, you know, cities and just what they experienced, I felt like made me want to travel a lot. And my first travel experience was to Sri Lanka. And I think it was after, it might have been, I don't know if you went before or after I did.
Yeah, I went before and I had done like a 10-day road trip with a few girls and that trip just totally kicked our ass. Like navigating that country was so difficult, but so rewarding. So I remember being really excited when you said you were going to go and I was like, holy shit. And he's doing it by himself. I'm like, that's intense. It's like Brad's going to get his ass kicked.
And I did. That was exactly, I think, like just the thing I needed though, like literally just one backpack, your clothes for the week or whatever. And I don't think it was quite 10 days, but I know it was longer than a week. So somewhere between 7 and 10 days, I don't really remember, but like I had a plan sort of, and it was like, I had my plane ticket there and a plane ticket out of, I forgot the city's name. It was one of the bigger cities.
Colombo.
Yes. So you flew into Colombo and flew out of Colombo. So I had a rough map of cities I wanted to hit and like, oh, there's a beach town, there's a mountain town, tea plantations and all of that stuff I had planned out. However, it was so freeing to just like get to a city and if you loved it, I'm gonna stay here a couple more days. And honestly, all it was like if you found shelter and food, life was good. And you know, just experiencing everything. A bus stop in another country. There was a bus station in one of the cities and I needed to get on this bus to go, I don't know, like 200 miles to another spot where I wanted to go. And none of the things are in English, but you just communicate, you talk or whatever. And then like, once you get to the spot, like once you found a place to stay, like a, what do they call them? A homestay or something like that, where people just kind of put you up in their house. They don't really call them hotels.
No, there's like hostels, but it's like a, yeah, it's just like a guest experience, like a homestay, I think. Yeah.
You
stay with a local. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, well, I mean, once you found like and kind of secured your home or your shelter.
Yeah.
Okay. Where can I get some food? And then after that, it was just like, let's go explore. Part of me wishes I was with someone else. It was my first time. So like I had all my cash, my passport, all my stuff. And I wanted to go swim out in the ocean.
Yeah.
But I'm also like, I'm not just going to leave it on the beach and just let someone like, I don't know. So like I didn't probably get a fully experience the way I would like to. I mean, it was still amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, that town or that country in general is just amazing. Anything you want to experience, if it's the city, if it's the country, if it's the beach, the mountains, it has it all. And it was so amazing. Like when you first got off there of the plane, just to, it's like, okay, how am I going to have Wi-Fi? You know? And sometimes it's like, you're like handicapped by it a little bit, but like, it wasn't that hard. You go and there's little cell phone stands, you get a new SIM card, plug it in, you pay a little bit of money. So you have some data and just go on with it. And you pull up on your phone and like, hey, take me here to the tuk-tuk driver. And the craziest thing about that, though, was in the city of Colombo, I had the hardest time communicating where I wanted to go. But when you got out into the little tiny towns, people spoke like perfect English. And it was like the easiest to get around. It was the best experience. And if you ever have an opportunity to go backpacking for a week, 2 weeks, like it will change your whole fucking life. It's so good. Like, cause then after that, it's like, you can figure out anything.
Mm-hmm.
If you can figure out how to get to here, to there and find a place to live and find a place to eat some food, like you can figure out almost anything. And it's like so true when it comes to like first world problems of like when you get back. Yeah, just changing the perspective. Like these people were like one of the happiest people you've ever seen. And just from what we think happiness is here in town, like in the States, mm-hmm. everyone's, you know, different. And I'm like generalizing, but most of the time what people think happiness involves in the States, like, and if I didn't have my 65-inch TV, or if I didn't have the new iPhone or the PS5, like,
right.
I won't be happy. But like these people are like living in little huts and on the beach, but they're just so happy. Also a tip, if you ever travel, make sure you have a little cash, because people, if they give you any directions, you should give them a little money, because that's
they appreciate that.
They do, for sure. And it goes a long way. If you give them a little bit, they'll help you out. This one guy drove me, like, I spent in a tuk-tuk like 5 hours with this one guy driving.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He drove his little tuk-tuk. It might not have been 5 hours, but I know it was more than 3 hours we were driving. All the way over.
In reality, it was probably like 20 miles, but it just takes that long to get places there.
Almost get ran off on the road by a big old semi truck, but it was, yes. So Sri Lanka was like my favorite place, because that was my first backpacking trip. Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of that like perspective of like what you were talking about, what makes people happy. I think going back to like what you mentioned with CrossFit too, the community aspect, I think there, it's like, they are very communal and they live so closely with one another of like what they provide, like the trading and the skills and how they can help each other out. It's just so well connected. And I think that was one of the things that I picked up from there. It was, well, first of all, traveling through Sri Lanka, like feeling lost is never the problem. Like I constantly felt lost the whole time I was there.
True.
But it was always like something really awesome at the end of it. So it was like, great. It's just I'm on my way to a new situation. Like we'll figure it out when we get there. So that was like a enlightening experience of Sri Lanka. But I think it was also that ability to connect with other people is always like such a great measure of health. And I think that community aspect is so important of like looking at how happy they were having like so little, like little guy running the fruit stand and he's barefoot and I just watched him, you know, like walk miles into town to, you know, go get some.
Or like cutting coconuts and just with a huge smile on his face, just loving it.
Happy as could be, to connect with people. I thought that was so cool. And it gave me a lot more perspective and respect. I think there's a high, you know, Sri Lanka expat population in Kuwait as well. Mm. And so I think being able to like connect with those people when I came back to Kuwait, you know, as well as like being in their home country and just seeing what life was like there and having a little bit of like connection and appreciation there, I think always helped as well going to some of those places.
Yeah. And like the homestays that I stayed at, like just how welcoming they were. That's like one thing that I've learned coming back to the States that I try not to lose. And I get caught up in the hustle and bustle of, you know, right back into the States kind of deal. But you know, especially after this conversation, like it's just like bringing back memories a little bit of like, shit, like life is good, you know? And yeah, they were just so happy. And you don't need much to be happy besides, you know, having a community around you, I feel like is really huge, and a support system and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, Sri Lanka was like my favorite place I went to, because that was the first one. Dubai was fun. You know, a lot of people love Dubai and just the huge buildings and all that kind of stuff. I think people love hearing about Dubai and all that.
Yeah.
I personally felt like it was too big of a city
for
me. It's still awesome. It really is, just to see all of that. But maybe we can get into our highway Dubai story sometime down this.
Oh my gosh. You might as well get into it right now. I forgot about that until you mentioned it now, but
yeah,
this is like just talking about like travel kicking your ass and just giving like a life perspective. It was rugby sevens weekend in Dubai. And yeah, I was on the way to the airport with my friends after a lovely weekend at rugby sevens, hanging out with Brad and a few other coaches the couple nights before. And as we're on the way to the airport, we just see someone running down the highway with their suitcase behind them. We're just laughing. And we're like, look at this guy. Like, oh my gosh, he's running down the highway to the airport. Like, what happened? And as we get closer, like, holy shit, that's Brad.
Leading up to me running down the highway, there was quite a story behind it. But like, It was one of those. We took a weekend trip to Dubai, rugby sevens. But then for those that don't know, like Kuwait is a dry country. And so that means you can't really drink alcohol there. So Dubai, you could drink alcohol and there was bars and alcohol. So it was like a nice little weekend getaway to just relieve some stress and just have some fun. Rugby sevens was a blast. I don't know anything about rugby, but
still don't
seem to be like, I still don't really care too much, but it's pretty badass. And a lot of people loved it. And it was a fun party. And I think the bar was called Barasti
or Bar Nasty for the locals.
Bar Nasty.
You know what we're talking about.
I thought I didn't need that much money. So I only brought a little bit of cash with me. Anyways, blew through that real quick. And I haven't used my debit card in months. I forgot my password to my debit card. So like that night we were out and I was like, I'll go to the ATM and get some more money. I went to the ATM, kept typing the wrong password. And eventually it like locked me out. And then I was on the way to catch my flight, my original flight back to Kuwait. And the taxi driver, I didn't have any cash with me, but like the card reader and his thing to pay wasn't working.
Oh, no.
So then he was like, well, just go to this ATM. You know, I went to the ATM. I'm locked out. So I had no way to pay this taxi driver. I had nothing on me. And that was a whole like ordeal where like he kept following me. I was like, sir, I no dinero. Like I have dinero is probably not the word. No dinar. I know. I'm using Spanish. I don't know what to say. This and eventually some police officers got involved and understood the situation that I was a lost American. I had no money. He paid the taxi driver. I think it was like literally a $2 fare.
Oh
like
gosh.
How far we gone. Yeah. So the police officer just like gave him. We shook hands. Everything was fine. And then by this time, I missed my flight. So I'm calling Danica, like, hey, is there any way you can schedule me a flight? Eventually, I got a hold of you, and you booked me a flight on your plane going home.
But I didn't know I was going to find you running down the highway.
No way to get to the airport. Finally, the train system gave me a free ticket, and I got on the tram, got to the airport where my original flight was. But then you took Air Dubai, which I think is, or Fly Dubai, and that's a whole nother terminal. So that's when my trip, because I was like, maybe I'll just hop in a taxi. I was like, wait, I don't have any money. So I just like took my suitcase. I still had my clothes on, my Sperry's and my khakis and polo from the night before, and just start fucking running down this way. I follow in some signs. I felt bad, but I would like wave down a taxi driver.
Yeah.
And he thought he was going to get someone. I was like, where's the terminal for this? And he would just point. So I'm like, all right, thanks. And I would just like keep running.
Oh my gosh.
I know. And then looking back, it was so silly because it was like a full on freeway highway. Like it wasn't just like a side road. It was like the highway that I was running down.
Lane highway.
And trust me, it's like if you're in a dark tunnel and you see the light, when your car pulled over and I saw the brake lights, I was like, I don't know who this is,
but I'm getting
I am so happy that, and then you fucking get out and I just hear all you ladies cackling. Like, I was like, all right, this is kind of embarrassing, but I don't even care right now. Like I have a ride. So
I just remember how sweaty you were.
So gross. And like, by this time it was probably like 1 PM and I haven't had any water, no food, still hungover from the night before. And I've been running for fucking an hour trying to get to this damn terminal.
Oh my
and,
God.
You were my saving grace there. It was nice.
Never let you live that down though.
I know.
Serious. This is like great travel. Like checklist for people.
Carry extra money with you.
Yeah. Oh, that's hilarious. Too funny.
Mm-hmm.
Dubai is a special one. Oh, man. How about, as long as we're talking about crazy stories, if you're up for it, getting into, you've had some more, so that was a good interaction with the cops of paying your way. But in Kuwait, there was a little situation that brought you back to the States kind of unexpectedly, I guess. Do you want to walk us through what that situation was and maybe some lessons learned or maybe the low point of the Kuwait expat experience?
Hey, it's all life lessons. It's all good. It's all good. I mean, I don't know how much to dive into besides that. Yeah, like we were just coaching one night and basically something happened. There was an issue with our visas and I don't think it was anyone in the wrongdoing, but it was just a legal thing that the visas weren't all the way processed or something like that. And basically,
People working in one facility that like visas were labeled under another facility and civil IDs like in the process.
Yeah. So it was like in the process of getting all squared away and making everything like good to go. But, you know, another gym needed some help and it was still part of the Circuit Plus platform and everything. Mm-hmm. And it was totally fine. Like I didn't think anything of it and everything was cool. It's like it's happened a little bit in the past, but nothing major. And yeah, me and a friend, Alex, were coaching one night and I think they're doing the right job of the police coming in and just double checking on everything. But basically, it was a very random thing that happened, but they were just like, hey, we heard your visas aren't whatever we have doesn't show what you have or something. And they took us in this van, and if it was in America, it would have been totally different. I would have stood my ground and everything, but it was like, sure, wherever you want me to go, I'll go with you. Like, it's fine.
I'm not getting this unmarked van.
I know. And looking back, and that's what makes me like just so grateful because like you experience a lot and anything that happens now, it's like, whatever, like I've seen worse, but I did not get locked up or I was not in prison or anything like that. It was just, they wanted to hold us until they figured out what was going on and basically was in this van, drove around town for a little bit, stopped in this one building for 20 or 30 minutes. And, you know, we're kind of texting you and Danica and Stephanie is like, I don't know what's happening, but we're with these guys and
I might be arrested. I'm not sure.
May or may not be a fugitive on the loose in another country, but yeah, so they took us to the embassy is what I assume it was, but I don't really know what building we went to. And cultural differences, it's like, I don't know what they were saying because they were speaking Arabic. And sometimes they seem like they're yelling at each other, but then they're laughing the next moment. And it was just very, me and Alex were like, what the fuck is going on? But we didn't say anything. We just kind of chilled and hung out and eventually it led us to having to leave the country for a few days until the visas got kind of figured out or squared away. And it didn't happen as quick as we wanted to. So we were like in Dubai, you know, like it was basically everything was going fine for months and months in Kuwait.
Getting like a free ride in Dubai for a while. Not bad.
Sure. It's something like that. And out of nowhere, it was like, hey, you had to go to, you just got to leave the country for a few days till we figure it out and you come back, everything will be fine. And then a few days turned into like 5 days, a week. And by the time it was like 10 days, we were kind of like, what the hell is going on? A lot of uncertainty. And eventually we got a call just saying like, hey, you might have to fly home because it's going to take a little longer than you think or than we thought. So they kind of gave us a few options of like, hey, if you just want to be done and just go back home and be good with it, you know, that's totally fine. We'll take care of you for a few months or, you know, go back home. We'll get it squared away and you come back out. And at the time, I felt like my job wasn't finished at Circuit Plus. Like I really wanted to continue building it and continuing to grow the company. And also you start forming relationships with all the members and just all the other coaches and everything. And I was like, fuck, I don't want to leave yet. But then
we were on a really fast like track out there for only a year. It was like came out to coach and then quickly like head coach. And then it was like heading into like managing a massive facility and being able to like take lead on a lot of the community development.
Yeah, I kind of forgot all about like, I guess how fast it all happened and everything. But we had a lot of good coaches that were on board with it, but no one was really like willing to step forward and like take the lead on it or whatever. But there was, I know. I remember Mike. I miss Mike a little bit, but
I thought about that this morning. I was like, I should have had Mike come on today too. That would have been a fun little round table.
Mm-hmm. That would have been great. I would love to see him. We had a lot of pudding together. Cheesecake. That would have been great. So yeah, I mean, like, yes, we were not done building what we were trying to build out there. And so I ended up taking the option, going home for a little bit. And after a month of not really hearing much progress back in Kuwait, I kind of fell back into the, not, I don't want to say fell back into it, but I just started spending more time with CFO again, which is CrossFit Omaha, which is both the gyms where we met, or the gym where we both met. Mm-hmm. I really forgot about that. We took the level one together in Kansas City.
Yeah.
I kind of forgot about that a little bit. But at this time, the ownership changed. And that was like one of the main reasons why I left. Not because it was like poor ownership, but it was just different philosophies on running the business or whatever the case might have been at that time. But it was new owners at the that were running CrossFit Omaha. I met tons of people who I'm still really close friends with there. And then I remember specifically like not hanging out at CrossFit Omaha because I know I would get like wrapped back into it in a good way of like, if I started spending more time there, I would not want to leave again. So I try to distance myself as much as I could. But then after like a month, I was like, started taking classes again there, started hanging around there, and then had the discussion of like, hey, like we need some more coaches here. What would that look like? And ended up working out where I accepted a position back at CrossFit Omaha, coaching CrossFit classes full time. And kind of, again, that not really a management position, but like a head coach position and taking some more ownership on things. And then it just didn't feel right to go back to Kuwait, which, you know, who knows what could have happened or whatever. But at the time, I felt like that was the right place for me to be.
When you talk about like using that gut instinct of like what brought you out there, it's like probably that same sensation and, you know, gut instinct that led you to being like, what is it time for right now? And staying back was probably the—
If I remember right, it was 2016 election with Donald Trump about to be president. And it was just because I think it was that September, October time. And it really looked, I mean, it was Clinton and Donald Trump running. And it really seemed like Donald Trump was going to be president. And like all the talks of border closing and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, man, if I went back to Kuwait and I couldn't come back if I wanted to.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, that uncertainty, I just wasn't really, I mean, everything ended up being fine. And I feel like even if I went back, it would have been like you still could have came back. But
yeah,
that uncertainty, I think, just kind of helped me make my decision of just staying put, you know, for family and
totally
all those other reasons. And
kind of goes back to media portraying one thing and something else being a different reality.
Well, exactly. Exactly. So yeah, kind of stayed put. And yeah, so that was 2016 around that October, September, November timeframe where there was a lot of uncertainty in the States of what's going to happen and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I think that kind of helped me make my decision and continue coaching at CrossFit Omaha from there.
Yeah. And now you're completely out of the fitness industry and you're in real estate.
Yes, that was another tough decision as well. And it was, I think, just looking more into the future and preparing myself for, you know, what's to come. And I still have a passion, I think, for health and fitness. I feel like it's diminished a little bit since I've been out of it, or I just gained, maybe not the passion, but I feel like I've gained a new perspective on, you know, what it is to live a healthy life. And I think, it was 2019, so before the pandemic started, I mean, a whole year before, basically, I just kind of felt like where I wanted a fitness thing, like a fitness gym to go, it just wasn't quite the way that the CFO was taking it. And not that it was wrong or right or anything, but it was just different directions.
Yeah.
So my good friend Colin, he owns a company called Bricktown Management, which owns and manages a bunch of multifamily apartment complexes throughout the Midwest. And I saw that he quit his six-figure income job with security and benefits and all that kind of stuff with an infant and one on the way. And he quit that job to do it full time. And I was like, there's something there. And we were talking and we've been good friends for a very long time. Like I met him way back in the Hy-Vee days when I was like 14 or 15 years old. So I've known him for, I've known him for a long time. And when I saw that he quit his full-time 401k benefit job, you know, like
the job we're all supposed to want to have. Yeah.
Well, exactly. When he like let go of that to do this full time, I gained total trust. So we talked for about 3 or 4 months, just what it would look like me being a good friend of his, but then working for him and how it would go. But he was growing really rapidly and he was doing everything by himself. So he brought me on. I have no experience in real estate. However, communicating with people, helping build up kind of from the ground up on certain things.
You had experience with that and international experience with that.
For sure. For sure. And just knowing that I could benefit him and he could benefit from having me. And I just feel like it was a, we talked for a while, but we felt like it would work well. So I came on in May of 2019 there and was still coaching part-time all the way up until the pandemic started. So it was about a full year of coaching part-time, just on the weekends, helping out where I could. But then it just kind of happened where, you know, mandates say that, you know, you can't open your gym and you have to do all online stuff. And it just felt right where I needed to maybe put the fitness coaching in the past a little bit and just focus full time on this. And ever since I did that, it just like hit the ground running. And when you can devote all of your attention on one thing, this is the first time in my life that I've ever only had one job.
Yeah.
I've always dabbled in this dog sitting, Hy-Vee, because I just loved like just all different things, you know, being able to do all that. But you were just getting good at everything. You weren't really becoming like really focused and great at one thing, you know? So that was earlier this year, 2020, when the first lockdown kind of happened, where I was like, hey, it's probably best if I just step away and just focus all my attention on that. But ever since we've done that, it's been great. And I feel like hiring some new people, and that's the crazy thing. And I feel very fortunate, but during the lockdowns, a lot of people are closing the doors. We're growing and we're hiring new people. And, you know, being a part of that is really cool to still push through and adjust on the fly, but still being fortunate enough to have enough business where we need more help, you know, instead of being closed down and having to let people go. And that was kind of what made, not the pandemic, but that's just kind of what made the shift for me, was looking more into the future and learning about real estate. You hear about it everywhere. It's, you know, like McDonald's is kind of the famous story of, you know, they don't own a hamburger restaurant, they own real estate. Mm. And, you know, that is what's going to set you up for the rest of your life. There's other investments you can make, obviously, that make people enough money to live their life the way they want to live. But I felt like real estate was a really good route, and to learn about the business and see how it works, tax benefits, and also just being able to provide. There's like 400 houses that we get to provide people. And
yeah. When you talk about shelter being one of those things that you know, needed, and it's like, now you're providing that for people. That's like,
no, absolutely
value to it. Yeah.
100%. So it's been about it's been a year and a half, almost 2 years that I've been doing this stuff, and it's awesome. It really is.
It's cool. It's like working for another company, but you're still getting to use that like entrepreneur muscle, right? Of like creating things and doing things. And that's what's, I love this, what you touched on with that, because in this entrepreneur startup program that I talked to you a little bit about that I'm starting, there's one of the things that people have a lot of concern about, like, what if I need to make money, right? I know I don't want to work for somebody else for the rest of my life, or I know that I want to start this business, but I'm worried about making money now. And it's like you had a good grip on that of like doing what you need to do with like the side hustle, the side gigs, right? But also like not passing up that chance to step out of that and take the risk when you need it to. So it's like if you need to get two or three jobs in the meantime to like save up to invest in something or to like start, you know, the business of your dreams, like do what you have to do. But like knowing where you wanted to go, I think having that vision of like the future, that is like the key to helping you step towards that and not just taking on the side jobs to take on the side jobs and waiting for like an opportunity to come. It's like, no, like when you say like, I know I have a path, I know where I want to go. Like that's the thing that you can always like, you have to know where you're landing, like where, where you're leaping towards. Like you got to have a compass. You've got to have a landing pad and know where you're going. Otherwise you end up just, yeah, taking on things to take on things or kind of spinning your wheels, or you end up in the security job that doesn't provide you any kind of like passion or value, right, in the service that you're providing. So that's cool, like being clear.
And security in a job also, like with the pandemic, I'm sure it's opened a lot of people's eyes of like what you thought was a secure job, like it right. might not be that secure. So why not do what you feel? And I know it sounds very cliche, but like do what you find is bringing you joy and bringing you happiness. And even if you mess up, like you're still young, you can do it. But like, if you don't try, like what even just reinforces my opinion on that is like my mom worked for a local bank for 30 plus years and she would give anything for that place. And, yeah. you know, had 401k, all the benefits, all that kind of stuff. She went through like a reorganization of the business. And at the end of the whole conversion thing, they let her go.
Yeah.
And she's like 4 years away from retiring. And she's like, can you just like pay me less money? Like, I still want to work. She's like, it doesn't quite work like that. You know, like they just,
yeah.
you know, so like, it's really... like money will come and go, but I feel like if you are at a place that you feel like you're providing value and you're respected and also like, you know, they value your opinion and they take it into consideration. And sometimes you're at places and you're like, hey, if we did this, this, and this, they're like, nope, it's our way. Like you have to do it the way we want to do it. Or this is the way we're going. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that can be good, but that was the main reason why I switched over to the real estate side of things. I've always been interested in that, just understanding how it all works. But I think always being in a position to, because I have that entrepreneurial kind of mindset on how things work and willing to work hard for it and not just wishing or I hope yeah. one day I hit the lottery, but always having the freedom. And that's what's been like super cool of always being in the position of, it's kind of like I'm helping run the business a little bit. Obviously he's my mentor and helps me out with a lot of different things, but I feel like being able to have the freedom of being kind of your own boss and working, and as long as stuff gets done and you're still continuing to grow, and the freedom of, oh, you have an idea? Cool. Now execute it. Mm-hmm. And like, let's do it, you know, as opposed to it having to be the boss's idea or the boss's, you know, way of doing it, I think has been cool. And, you know, real estate is very much like life, you know, ups and downs. There's a lot of hardship followed by, I think I know everything. I'm the greatest. And like, I finally figured it out. And then the next day it's like, oh, what the hell? You know, like it's just a roller coaster. And it's been really cool to just like we talked about in the past, like you mess up. Cool. I'm never doing that again. Let's adjust. Let's do better. Move forward and adjust a little bit. And hey, let's get a system in place so that doesn't happen again. And yeah. let's adjust and keep moving forward, keep moving forward. And the one hard thing about it has been, you don't get the instant gratification like in fitness. You know, people are so grateful for right. you as a coach because you help them see the light or you help them change something and you get that gratification. Everyone's grateful for you as a coach most of the time. You know, in real estate, when you're managing apartments, you know, it's like, even if you do everything right, they're only going to let you know when you mess up, you know?
Right.
So like
right.
that has been a little hard, but again, keeping the end in sight and know that this will be a, I don't want to say quicker way, because it could happen in any industry if you save enough money and be able to make your dreams and goals happen. But being able to purchase properties that when you provide a good service for the renters, they get what they want and you also get your mortgage paid for and the property paid for in 15 or 20 years, you know, so 15 or 20 years from now, being able to have 4 or 5, 10, however many properties you can get, you know, paid for, being able to have that foundation to then do what you want and live the life that you want to live. And, you know, I still have a dream of getting back into the fitness industry, owning my own gym or owning some sort of company that helps people with their health and wellness. Mm-hmm. I still feel like that's gonna happen and that's what I want to happen.
Yeah.
But I think coaching classes and doing a few personal training sessions is a very slow way of getting there. But being able to own real estate and have some cash flow from that real estate to help pay for other things is going to be a much stronger foundation to move forward in the future, to be able to make those dreams happen a lot quicker.
Yeah. I love that. Like the how is going to be different for everybody, but what you found is, mm-hmm. is what's going to work. I feel like financial health is definitely a part of the health puzzle and industry that is kind of left out. Like, right, it's the excuse that people will use to not go to the gym or to not buy healthy food or, you know, things like that. So mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like just from what I've seen from you on social media and things, I feel like your coaching background and your newfound financial perspective, I feel like the health industry and the financial industry like blend for you in some capacity.
No, it's going to be good. It's going to be good yeah. for sure.
That's awesome.
And it's a new, I feel like it's also like just a new appreciation to owners in general that own gyms yeah. and they own this, like there's a lot that goes involved with it. A lot of people think that if you own a business,
yeah.
you're so rich and you're this and that, but like yep. there's so much extra stress that comes involved with that.
People look at the fee for the service and they charge like, or they, you know, times that by like, you know, I know it was always like that at the gyms. It's like, well, you charge this for membership and this is how many members you have. Like, that's how much money you're making. And it's like, no, like there's no. expenses, including you.
100%. So having a new appreciation for that has been yeah. something that I don't take for granted. And I feel like will help me in the future.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
What's something that you wanted to like leave people with or want people to know from maybe some of that perspective of what you've discovered in the last year or that expat experience or something you can teach us?
Yeah, I feel like everyone is going through things and everyone is on their own trajectory and their own timeline. So don't get caught up in thinking that, you know, this guy's only 21 or this lady's only 25 years old and she is so far ahead of me in life. Mm. And there's a lot of things that can be filtered and make it look like one thing. And even if so, like everyone's on a different path. And I feel like as long as you get a good support system and just try to keep a nice, close group of people, it goes such a long way. And sometimes that's like all you need. And don't get caught up in trying to race other people. Just be better than what you were the day before. Continue to read books. Like I got away from Audible books because I was starting to multitask and that like
yeah.
sit down, read, educate yourself and just continue to learn and just don't get caught up in thinking that something is going to make you happy. Like basically set your life up the way you want to make yourself happy now. And don't forget to plan for the future. So basically just do what you need to be happy now and also plan for the future, if it's financially, mentally, emotionally, whatever the case might be. But don't forget that because I'm only 30, but I do feel like everyone's going to get old eventually and you're going to have regrets. So if you feel something, like don't care what your Aunt Susie's going to think of you or your friend this, like just go do it and just like experience, like, make sure you're happy. That's the biggest thing. Yeah.
This is it. This is the chance that you get. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and it's always, you know, what if, like, just go do it, be happy. You're still going to be young. Like, you mess up, whatever.
Yeah.
That wasn't for me. You never know. It's much, much better to have the, I tried it and I didn't like it, as opposed to what if I tried it, you know? So,
yeah.
Whatever you're thinking, don't think that you need to do something to be secure or safe. Yeah, I don't know if I can take a risk or something. And everyone's risk is a little different, but just go try things, go do things, be happy, and just love people. Like, it sounds like corny or whatever, but like, and I need to do better of it too, of not being so rude or whatever. And we all need to be better. But
what was the quote that you had posted recently? Is something, it was like two different opinions that people have about you, but basically the moral of the story was like, you're transparent. Like, you let people know like which side they're on. I forget what you had posted recently about that. It was like, some people think I'm a dick and some people think I'm like,
oh yeah,
really nice. But basically it's just like,
oh yeah. It was a Tom Hardy quote. It's like, yeah. You know, if you talk to two people, I'm an asshole to one of them and I'm the most genuine to the other, something. And it's like, you get treated accordingly, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Something along those lines, but
I appreciated that though, because I'm like, that is Brad though. It's like, I think honesty is a big, also, you know, keep being honest with yourself. Like you're talking about with like these failures that you might encounter. Right. And it's just owning up to it and recognizing it and then being able to move on past that. But I think that's also a part of like the relationships and things too. It's like, people know where they stand. Like, there's no question of like who you are. You're not hiding anything. You're not, you know, it's just transparent and honest. And I think that's a key to the entrepreneurship journey as well. So I've always appreciated about that. When I read that, I was like, I think that's awesome. I'm like, that's definitely a quality and not a, that's a strength and not a weakness.
If it's been shared, it's something I truly believe in. That's for sure.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, thanks so much for joining. Is there anything else you wanted to leave the people with? Shout out to your Habibis.
No. Yeah. Yasin. Majid. Love you all. No, it's been fun. I'm glad that you asked me to come on and chat with you. And yeah, I just hope people realize their life isn't as bad as they think it is. It's, you know, life is good, and just continue to be happy.
Love it. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
Absolutely.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. You can also find us on Instagram @ The Project Kuwait. Thank you, and join us next time.